All right, I'm going to kick off a message in just a minute. But before I do that, just wanted to take a quick moment. I guess I would just call it shepherding. I love you guys. I feel like I'm one of the shepherds of you all. And I'm sure some of you know we were supposed to have our Engage classes starting today, but they're obviously not started, and we canceled Wednesday last week because within some of the staff and leadership, there was a few positive cases of COVID, and then other people that were around them. And we sent an email out to all you guys and to your parents to let you know. But I just want you to hear from me that, you know, we take it seriously. And that's why we want to take the precautions, because we don't want it to spread, because we want to be our brother's keeper and take care of each other. And thankfully, those that have tested positive are really having pretty mild symptoms. And those that tested negative, that are, you know, that are here, that are around, we know that they've tested negative. That's why I feel comfortable with them being here. And one of the big reasons we had to cancel last Wednesday was just because of the multiple leaders that were connected to those that had tested positive. We just weren't going to have enough leaders to make it happen last Wednesday. So that's one of the reasons why we needed to cancel. But we felt it important to give, you know, those that are even on Zoom or those of you that come here today in person an opportunity to gather. And I was actually out camping this weekend out at Harper's Ferry, and I was driving back. And believe it or not, I actually was in the car for 45 minutes with no radio on, nothing on, in pure silence. I was like, how often do I get this? Just silence. And one of the things that came to mind to me was the things that matter the most are the things that at first it doesn't really seem like they're important. The things that really matter the most are the things that at first it doesn't really seem like they're important. Like today, I'm going to talk about prayer. Where in prayer, we're kind of like, well, I know I should pray and I sort of do it, but it's not really that big of a deal. I would say we look in God's word. It's one of the most important things in God's word. And gathering together, whether it be in person like this, whether it be on Zoom, however it happens, you know, it's one of those things that it can be like, well, you know, if we miss a little bit, it's no big deal. Or if I don't come, or I don't join virtually, if I have the opportunity, it doesn't really matter. And I would say, no, it really does. And we see this time as important, not just so we can say, look, our student ministry is still going. It's not like that. I feel like for you guys, you, whether you realize it or not, you need God's word to hear it. You need to hear it from each other. You need to encourage each other. And so, you know, we see this as really important. That's why we want to find the most creative and flexible way. So if it meant we do another outdoor service, let's do it so that we can be together. And so I'm thankful that you guys are here. I'm thankful that those that can join in Zoom. And so I just end with this as a little shepherding moment. And as we look forward, we don't want to live in fear, but we also want to be prudent and wise. And that's if you think about two train tracks going beside each other, they're on parallel tracks. We don't live in fear, but we be prudent and wise. And we follow those tracks and we seek the Lord on what to do. And we know that your parents and you guys, you know, you entrust us with your care. And so we take that seriously. So we want to walk those parallel tracks of not living in fear, but also being prudent and wise at the same time. And thankfully, it doesn't seem like anybody got COVID from being at one of the youth events. And I can't say it's 100%, but I think it's because of the precautions that we've really wanted to take so that it doesn't spread. So praise the Lord for that. And we want to keep doing those things so that we can be together as we navigate this really just interesting time in life. But I'll say this lastly, for each person here on Zoom, not here, we respect each individual person's decision on what they need to do 100%. And you know, one thing that this is good, this whole COVID thing is going to test the church on, is can we come to a different opinion on something and still be unified? And that's what we want to do. So let me pray and then cop into today's message. Lord, thank you, God, that we can gather under this sunshine. That, Lord, it was like 39 degrees this morning and now it's like 55 and I got sweat rolling down my head. So we can gather out here in this beautiful weather. We can gather together. We can do it virtually. However it is, the people of God gather together because, Lord, we confess. I confess that I need you. I need your truth because I am bent to wander, prone to wander. And so we need to continue to be brought back to your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to be talking about prayer today. But before I really start talking about prayer, I bet you there's somebody that I know that you would never guess that I know. Anybody have a guess? Throw it out. What? The president. No, not right. Anybody else got any guesses who you would never guess that I know? Someone said Kim Kardashian. I know Kim Kardashian. Yeah, I know her. Did you know that her whole name is Kimberly Noelle Kardashian West? Anybody know that? That was her full name? I know that. I know her. Did you know that she's she's married to Kanye West? You guys know, yeah, you knew that. I knew you probably knew that. Did you know that she's been on the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Raise your hand if you knew that. Keep it raised if you watch it. Yeah, you shouldn't keep your hand raised for that. Did you know that she has two? Did you know she has two businesses? Right? Did anybody know she has? I know her. Did you know she has two businesses? She has Kim Kardashian West Beauty and Kim Kardashian West Fragrance. Anybody know that? Anybody know that? See, I know her. Did you know this? Did you know that she's become politically active by lobbying for President Donald Trump on prison reform? Anybody know that? I know her. Did you know that? Did you know this? Now, I know her because I know this. Did you know that she is planning to become a lawyer and is doing a 4-year apprenticeship at a law firm? Anybody know that? You guys, I know her. Now, who thinks that I actually know Kim Kardashian? Anybody actually think I know her? Okay, thank you. I'm glad you know me well enough to know that I do not know Kim Kardashian. But the truth is, no, I do not really know Kim Kardashian. I know about her. And you know how I know about her? I can type in Wikipedia. That's where I got all of those facts from. I don't know her. Just because I know about Kim Kardashian does not mean that I know her, that I know her personally, that I have a relationship with her, that I have a friendship with her. But you know, what if I did the same thing with my wife? What if the only things that I knew about my wife of a little over 10 years was when I went on her Facebook page to check them out? Now, and everything I said to her was, hey, you know, I saw on your Facebook page today. It's really cool. It's kind of weird. You put on there, you were cooking this. What if that's the only way that I knew about my wife was if I looked at her Facebook page? Or what if the only time I ever talked to my wife, I mean, think about this. What if the only time I ever talked to her was when I went to her and I said, hey, this is my to-do list and my want list is what I want. So here, can you do this for me? How do you think she'd really like me? Probably get a little slap every once in a while. That's the only way that I talk to her. Now, I know a lot of facts about my wife, but I know her because I spend time with her. I have a relationship with her. I have a friendship with her. I have a marriage with her. I seek to spend time. I seek to know her. The things I know about my wife, I know her hopes. I know her fears. I know her past. I know what makes her happy. I know what makes her sad. I know that she thinks I smell really bad. More than anything, though, I spend time with her and communicate with her, and therefore I know her. I don't just know about my wife. I actually know her. I have a relationship with her. I don't just speak with her to get something or get her to do something. I speak with her because I want to know her. I spend time with her and communicate with her. Therefore, I know her. I have a relationship with her. As I speak to my wife, as I communicate with her, as I get to know her and know what's going on in her life as life has gone on, I am then moved to act on her behalf. You know, I know, okay, she's not been feeling well lately. So here's the things that I need to do to help her. Because I know her, I'm moved to act on her behalf. And you know, some of my favorite times with my wife are when we're driving back from a long vacation and we're just in the car and Joshua's falling asleep so he can't ask us for anything or cry. And we're just in the car and we just get to talk for hours about life, about what our future plans are, about what we want to do, things we want to change, things we like. Those are some of my best times. And so my question to you is, would you say that you know about God? Or you actually know God? We can know, we're really good at knowing a ton of facts about God, but do we really know him? You know, it's interesting. We talk a lot in Christian circles about having a relationship with God. That's something that we say a lot. We're like, have you believed in God? Do you really have a relationship with God? Well, I would say, do you have a relationship with God that you actually know him? Beyond just, Oh, yeah, I know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with knowing the Bible and knowing his word, but you have a relationship with him that you know him, that you actually talk to him and you listen and you hear. You don't just know about him. You actually know God. And so today I'm going to talk about prayer. And you know what prayer is just at its core? If I was just to really just narrow it down in a really simple way, it's just having a relationship with God. And that relationship is just like my wife and I's. You would actually talk to him. You would actually listen to him. You would be moved to work on his behalf, to live on his behalf because you've heard him. And so point number one for today is really simple. Prayer is a relationship with God. Prayer is a relationship with God. Now, I know 100%. I'm serious. I know 100%. Every single one of you have prayed. You've prayed at big moments and you've prayed at little moments. You've realized, hey, I have a need for God. But the way that I know that you've prayed for him is because probably just recently, school really kicked up. You prayed before that test that you did not study for, right? We all have done it. We're all praying, Lord, please help me. Please, God, help me. I know I shouldn't have been playing Fortnite that long. Lord, please help me. You know, so there's funny things kind of that we pray about. We pray before a game. Lord, will you help us win this game? Have you ever thought about, what about the people on the other team that are Christians and they're also praying? Lord, would you help us win this game? You ever thought about that? Are you kind of like, well, my prayers matter more because I've worn the same jersey and haven't washed it, and now, Lord, my prayer will actually work? Or what about some of you that have prayed, I'm going to ask that girl to homecoming. God, please help her say yes. Please help her say yes. Or the Christmas present that you really wanted. And you're praying, Lord, please help my parents get me this present. Or on a more serious note, some of you probably even today are praying, God, I pray I don't get in trouble when I get home. I pray my parents don't find out about that, right? So we pray. We pray. I know 100% you all have prayed in some way to the Lord. And then there's some more serious things that we've all to some degree prayed here. We've talked to God. Maybe an illness. You know, someone in your family has an illness. And you're praying, God, would you take that illness away? Or maybe it's, you know, a death in the family that's been really hard and you're praying and talking to God about that. Or you know, truly, like, not being funny, but some consequences in your life that you're like, I really don't want these consequences to come, Lord. I know I did what was wrong. Lord, will you help me not to have these consequences? So we all pray at some point, but you know what all of these things that I just talked about have in common? They're all something that we want from God. Quite often, almost always, when we pray, it's because we want something from God. So praying to God is natural for us when we need something. Praying to God is so natural for us when we need something. But is it natural for us just always? How can we know God if we never really talk to him and hear from him? So if we're honest, think about this. I want everyone to hear this. I want you to just hear this really short list. I think here's what we've made prayer. We've made it a way to bargain with God and to control God. It's kind of a manipulative thing. Well, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to pray, God. If you do this, then I'll do this. And so we've made it this manipulative bargaining thing, God. Let's bargain back and forth. Or we make demands of God. God, if you don't do this, well, then I'm not going to walk with you. I'm not going to follow you anymore. We've made it a way, and this is probably where I feel like I'm most guilty. We've made it a way for God to be a genie. Well, like, Lord, if I pray to you and I like read my Bible three times, God, then aren't you gonna have to do this prayer for me? You know, we've kind of made God be this genie. Or we've kind of made it, some of us have made it even a ritualistic thing. And not that it's bad to set times and when we pray, I'm not saying that, but it's just more like, well, yeah, you know, I say my prayers at this time. But it's just more kind of this rote religious thing that we do. It's not this relationship with God. And so it's going to sound kind of a weird main point for today, but I think it'll make sense when I get to the end. Here's the main point. Prayer is more than you think it is. Prayer is more than you think it is. As I was working through this message, I had like 15 main points. And I realized prayer is so much more than I think it is. I think we just generally think it's this, well, God, I bring you kind of my to-do list and I bring you these few things around my life that are going wrong. And we think that's kind of what prayer, and I pray and I ask God, will you just fix these things? And I realize, man, prayer is so much more than I think it is. You know, Jesus prayed often. He often prayed. And if we're going to look to an example of, well, how would we know how to pray? Why should we find our reason to pray? I hope we would look to Jesus. Jesus prayed in the big moments. He prayed in the everyday moments. Jesus realized he needed to talk with God. He needed to hear from his Father on a regular basis. And that is what really lays down the foundation for us to kind of understand and realize our need for prayer. You know, Jesus was fully God, and yet he was fully dependent on God the Father. That's what Jesus showed us in prayer, that he was fully dependent on God. Let me give you just four verses. Mark 1:35 says this, "And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So Jesus is like, man, rising early in the morning, getting out, going to talk to the Father to hear from him. Jesus wasn't like, let me go to the Jerusalem Times and see what's going on. That's where I get my wisdom from. No, he was like, God, I got to go hear from the Father. Mark 14:23. This is right after Jesus fed the 5,000. He said, "And after this, he dismissed the crowd. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone." After Jesus feeds the 5,000, he's like, I got to get alone and be with my Father. Man, after a big youth event, I'm like, dude, I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee and chill. But Jesus is like, I need to go talk to my Father and be with him. Luke 6:12. This is before Jesus chooses the 12 disciples. "In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." Why? Because he knew, man, I'm making a big decision. It's important for me to hear from the Father, to know, Lord, who do you want me to choose? Not who do I think is right. And then lastly, Matthew 26:39, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, just right before Jesus is going to go to the cross. And it says, "And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus is showing here, God, let me throw my emotions to you of what is going on, but ultimately, Lord, not my will, but your will. Jesus was dependent on prayer. This is point number two when it comes to prayer. First, point number one is it's relational. It's how we have a relationship with God. It seems a little weird. Like, how do I pray to an unknown God that, you know, or a God that I can't really see? What is crazy is I can tell you, if you start praying, saying, God, I want to hear you, you're going to start hearing from a God. You're going to be like, hey, God, I might not be able to see you as in a person, but I definitely know you're listening to me and you're talking to me. So the second point is Jesus was fully dependent on God. And that is what prayer does for us. Prayer makes us fully dependent on God. Prayer keeps us dependent on God. We're always dependent on God, but when we pray and we really talk to the Lord and we have this relational thing with God as we talk to him, all of a sudden we start realizing, wow, God, I'm a lot more dependent on you than I thought I was. I thought I was pretty self-sufficient, but I start praying about these things and I realize, Lord, this is what you want from me. This is how you want me to walk. Begin realizing, God, I'm really dependent on you. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing to be dependent on God. And it pushes you to prayer. So let me ask you this. If Jesus needed to pray, do we need to pray? Shake your head. Yeah, I see some head shaking up there. Yeah, we need to pray if Jesus did. Now, then we can say, okay, well, prayer is really simple in one sense, just talking to God. But then sometimes I think we can like really complicate prayer and we can be like, well, what is it? Do I have to like not be with anyone? Do I have to be silent? You know, does it have to be with worship music on? Do I have to be on my knees? Do I have to say the right words? Do I have to go into a confessional booth? Can it only be at church? Right? We start making it really complicated. It's really not that complicated. It's just simply talking to God. But Jesus did give us some really cool insight on what to pray for. See, like I said, we've kind of brought it as like this to-do list. Like, okay, God, here's my to-do list. Here's what I want. And Jesus breaks it down. If you want to open up with me, open up to Matthew 6. I trust you. You open up your phone. You're not going to be on Snapchat unless you're going to post something to me. The good. Matthew chapter 6. Go there. So I was studying. It's like, Lord, if I'm going to talk about prayer, then this seems like a really good passage to start with. You know why? Because here's what his disciples asked him. One of his disciples comes to him and just says, Lord, what? How do we pray? God, will you just teach us how to pray? So I thought, okay, if we're going to learn how to pray, we're going to learn what to pray and how to pray. Let's just go to this passage. So this is called the Lord's Prayer, and it's kind of because the Lord taught him how to pray through. He taught them what to pray. But really, it should be called the disciples' prayer, because it really was for the disciples. And I would say it's really for us, and it's how we pray. And so he starts off in verse 9. And he says, pray then like this. Our Father, actually, I'm just going to read through the whole thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If you hallowed sounds like a weird word, kind of sounds like Halloween. Well, really, it's sanctified. It means holy. God, you're sanctified, holy, you're set apart. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Let me pray. Lord, if we're going to do this message, God, we need to pray. I need to pray and say, God, will you just like illuminate, God, just show us what you want to tell us through here. Lord, we're going to show these students what you want them to hear from prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn the person beside you, and I want you to ask them, of the list that I gave of, like, here's what we've kind of made prayer, which one kind of hit you the most? Like, this is sort of how what I've made prayer, to-do list, or God is a genie, or whatever it is. Take just a couple minutes, talk to the person beside you about that. I think it was interesting, but when Jesus said it, it was kind of crazy. When he said, our Father, he was making God a really personable God that actually wants to hear from you. That it wasn't like, he wasn't saying, you've got to go to the priest and the priest can offer up the prayers for you. When he says our Father, he's saying, this is our Father who knows us. That is our Father. And we can actually pray to him. So when he starts off the Lord's Prayer, he's saying, this is really important. You're praying to a God that wants to hear you, that wants to know you. And when he says Father, he's saying the creator, the sustainer, the giver of all things, God, our leader, our protector. He's saying how it is set apart, holy, sanctified. So he really begins out the Lord's Prayer and he says, at its core, praying to God is worship. Let it be worship. Put God in his rightful place. That's what worship is. The things that we worship are the things that we put in the top of our life. You know, it could be sports. It could be academics. It could be popularity. Well, that's what we're worshiping. We're doing all things for that. And he's saying, put God in his rightful place. When we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So, man, when we pray, let it just begin in some really simple ways to just worship God. And we're not just coming again just to ask him for things. We're coming actually to pray to him. So, you know, one way you could do this, because you're like, well, that seems a little weird. How do I do that? I wouldn't come up to you and say, Lee, the awesome guy, almighty one, the best one at nine square. You know, you wouldn't come up and say that. So how do we do this? Well, look at Psalm 145. You could just go to Psalm 145. You could just begin and look at different psalms and say, when I start praying, I'm just going to read a psalm to you, God. This is what Psalm 145, I'm going to read you like the first five verses. This is a song of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Just the first five verses, just praise to God. And it's ultimately saying, God, I'm putting you in the rightful place where you need to be, Lord. Let me focus on you and be dependent on you. When he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer is a personal time for you to worship God, who he is, King, holy, and righteousness, and righteous. I think praying this helps us to put God in his proper place as Lord and holy. Again, not just this genie that we think should give us things, because if we put God in the rightful place and say, Lord, you're the creator, you're the leader, well, then when we pray, we're saying, God, whatever you do is what you want to do. And I'll believe that. So it puts God in his rightful place. It redirects our minds to realizing God is the one we need to worship and hear from. Not from our friends, not even from all our leaders. You know, God, we ultimately need to hear from you first in our lives. We need to put you in the rightful place. So the Lord's Prayer starts out with just a worship to God and putting him in his rightful place. Then in verse 10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love this part of the Lord's Prayer, because this is like, to me, is like the active part for us. He says, God wants us to be engaged in praying for his will, his work to be accomplished on this earth. I think a lot of times we sort of think we're just like passive participants to what God's doing. We're just sort of like, okay, God, like I'm just kind of doing my Christian thing. And Jesus is saying right here, pray that God's will, his kingdom will come on this earth. And in that, he's saying, that means you're a part of it. You are a part of his kingdom coming on this earth. And a really simple way to understand this is, it's that we're praying that God's desires will take place on this earth. What God desires to happen. When God is fully in control, while God is fully in control, he has given man free will to choose what we will do. Therefore, if we're to pray, God, will your kingdom come on this earth? And will it be partly through my life? Then we're saying, Lord, I'm dependent on you. I want to use my free will to glorify you, to bring your kingdom on this earth, to live as you desire me to. It pushes us to submit our desires and our lives to God, to begin focusing on him and saying, Lord, will you use my life? Will you use the academics in my life? Will you use the sports in my life? Will you use the friends in my life? Will you use the talents you've given me that I can actually bring your kingdom down on this earth to bring glory to you? That's exciting. That's when the Christian life gets exciting, not when we're just some passive participant to God's kingdom, but instead Jesus saying, you are, each one of you here, each one of you listening on Zoom, is God is calling out to you right now saying, you're an active participant in Christ coming down this earth through his kingdom, through him working. That's crazy. This is a bold prayer that Jesus put out. We can see God working in all aspects and circumstances in our lives. And it's so cool that Jesus would tell us to pray this. And he would say that what is happening in heaven, which is God being worshiped and holiness and perfection, he's saying, would that come and happen on this earth in all goodness? And God says, I want you to be a part of it. So we're praying, God, put you in the holy place, put you as my leader, the creator, the sustainer. And Lord, then I'm saying, God, will your kingdom, because you're in the righteous place, will come down here on this earth? I'm praying that's happened. And God, in that same moment, will you use me to do that? Then in verse 11, he says this, give us this day our daily bread. This is cool. This comes down to really personal. He's saying, I'm praying that God, will you meet the things that I need today, the physical needs that I need today? When it was saying daily bread, it was really just talking about, Lord, will you provide the food that I need today? We can ask God for the things that we need to sustain us daily. Man, if this doesn't keep us dependent on God, then I don't know what will. Because saying, God, will you daily give me what I need? Praying this helps us focus on the things we really need compared to the things that we think we need. God will give us what we need. So again, if we've put God in his rightful place and said, Lord, you're God, and then we pray, will you give us our daily bread? Well, then we're saying, God, what you give me today in life is exactly what I needed. Because God, I'm trusting you to provide that. And I think this is, in one sense, probably one of the most difficult ones for us to pray, because for almost all of us, I mean, we have so much more than we could ever need. So what is this praying this? Well, I think in one sense, praying this helps us to see, God, you will give me exactly what I need. And it will help me focus on, Lord, the things that I really don't need. Lord, will you actually keep those away from me? Just think about that. Lord, the things that I don't actually need, if God, I'm praying for you to give me my daily bread, just what I need. Well, that would actually push us to go, Lord, there's some things I don't need. And will those stay away from me, God, so that I daily depend on you. So God, you're in the rightful place. Lord, will your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven? Let me be a part of that. And then God, will you give me my daily bread, what I need today to sustain me? And then in verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is really praying for our relationship with God and our relationship with others. We daily need to seek forgiveness from God. And this isn't for salvation. This isn't like, God, I'm going to daily seek forgiveness from you for the sins I've committed, because if I don't, well, then if I were to die, I wouldn't go to heaven. No, it's not that. It's daily keeping this clean slate with God, this relationship. If I know that I have wronged Wendy, my wife, then there's this separation there. And so with God, it's the same way. When we've sinned, there's a separation in relationship. And God says, just come, confess it to me. I've already forgiven it. I just want you to confess it, because it's going to keep the relationship with us good. So he's saying, just come to me. ask for forgiveness. And the funny, crazy thing is about coming to God and asking him for forgiveness daily with things where you know you have not been centered on what he wants and you've sinned, you would think, oh, it's going to make me feel so bad. No, the truth is you're going to get more of God's grace when you do that, not less of it. You will sense God's forgiveness. And so then what happens is he's saying, God, forgive us our debts as we come to you. We know you've forgiven them, but Lord, we're confessing them to you. And then he says, and also have us forgive the people that have wronged us. But he's saying, you've got to get the relationship with God first, right? Because then when you get that right and you realize God's forgiven you for the little things you've done and the big things that you've done, well, then when people wrong you, you can go, you know, I'm forgiven by God. And in that same way, Lord, I can forgive you. You know, how many of us are living in this kind of state of like, well, people have wronged me, and so now I'm just bitter. I just let this root of bitterness in me. And God, you know what? You've wronged me. And so, Lord, I'm not seeking anything from you, and that affects our relationship with people. And Jesus is saying, man, your relationship with God and your relationship with people, keeping a clean slate there and a clean relationship and an open relationship is really important. Jesus is saying this is important enough that this is how he would teach his disciples to pray. And then in verse 13, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is really praying for our spiritual needs. So we say, God, put you in the rightful place. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Let us be a part of that. God, you're going to provide us for exactly, pray that, Lord, will you provide for me exactly what I need today? That I can daily depend on you for my physical needs on this earth. And God cares about those physical needs. And that's food, that's emotional needs that we need. God cares about those things. And then he says, but Lord, let me keep this good relationship with you, Lord, that I would confess my sin to you. And God, you've already forgiven it, but I'm keeping this relationship with you. And God, in the same way, this relationship with others, I'm keeping an open and clean relationship with them. And then lastly, there's this spiritual need. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praying for our spiritual needs, as we pray to God for those, we're admitting our own weakness. Sometimes I think at least with guys, but I think all of us, we have this pride that says, I don't want to admit my weakness. I don't want to admit that I can't do something. I don't want to admit that I've been wrong. I don't want to admit that I might fall into sin. Jesus is saying, come to God and just say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I know that I'm weak. I am weak, Lord. And I have an inability to provide for myself spiritually. So God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. Provide for me spiritually, Lord. Keep me from temptation. And God, deliver us from evil. Again, this keeps us dependent on God, spiritually dependent on him. We need his help to resist temptation, to stay clear of the devil's schemes on this earth. You know what's cool about this? When you start praying this, all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing, you know, where you used to be really tempted, you're going to start seeing some ways out. Oh, God, you gave me this way out of this temptation. Okay, let me take it. Because God says, I'm not delivering you from the world. But Lord, as I'm in this world, God, keep me from temptation. And God, deliver me from evil as I am on this earth. Keep me from the devil's schemes, Lord. It's praying, God, help me to stay holy and set apart and sanctified before you. So here's what prayer does. Prayer assumes we are dependent on God. I'm just going to acknowledge there's a weird bird sound over there. I just feel like I need to stop for a moment. It's a really serious moment. And I'm like, there's a bird over there. And it's kind of weird. And he's really keeps on going on Zoom. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's crazy. Okay. Let's draw it back in. We're about to finish here. Come on, bird. We've been here for like 2 months and now you finally come out on the last one. This is spiritual warfare. I cast the demon out of that bird. So now that we can I am embracing the awkward right now. Now that we can embrace the awkward, we can say, God, prayer assumes that we're just dependent on you, Lord, and we need you. It's a relational aspect. It keeps us dependent on God. And you know what? It's not an ultimate list of, God, this is my to-dos. This is my demands. But it's a way for us to pray, God, these things that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Lord, help us to pray these things. So here's what I'm going to do. Right now, I'm going to literally just walk through these. The worship team is going to come up, but I'm going to walk you through a time of praying. We're just going to walk through the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So first one is this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want you just to take a minute right now and just pray. Say, God, let me put you as leader and holy and father and characterist. Take a moment to pray that. All right, take a moment now and pray about God's kingdom coming on this earth as it is in heaven and say, God, how would I be a part of that? Speak to me right now. Pray that. Take a moment now to say, God, what are the things that I need today from you? What are the things I need today? God, give us my daily bread. What do I need? Pray and ask God about that. And pray and ask God about maybe the things you don't need that God would keep from you so that you can keep focused on him. Take a moment now to confess anything to God that you say, Lord, I need forgiveness for this. And then and maybe hear from the Lord on who, you know, who's someone in your life that you need to forgive just as God's forgiven you. Talk to God about that. And then lastly, pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray to Lord that, say, God, where are the roads of temptation for me? Where have I gotten into some of the devil's schemes that are leading me into sin? God, show me how to be led out of that. As I end, I hope that you have seen that praying is a lot more than you thought it was, but at the same time, it's just talking to God. I pray that each of you just in a really simple way heard the Lord today, and I wanted to end with this application. When if you were to usually just find yourself when you need wisdom, when you're looking for something, if you usually go to a friendship, you go to Google, you go to Instagram, you go to social media, instead of even going to yourself on what to think or act, would you begin a natural path of going, Lord, do I go to you to hear from you first? And then go to everything else, Lord. Let me hear from you. Let me back it up with scripture and know what you're speaking to me. But how would, man, if we pray just as simply the Lord's Prayer every day, and we meant it wasn't just a religious thing we just did, but we prayed each of those, how different would our lives be if we heard from God every day and he guided our paths? We would be directed by him. So I have taken the Lord's Prayer, wrote on a 3x5 card for myself. I've been praying over it, and I would encourage you guys to do that. Go home, write on a 3x5 card, pull it out every morning, and pray over that. Let's worship.